to Romans chapter 1, 16. Romans 1, verse 16. This is kind of going to be a springboard just for what I'm going to be speaking on, so we may be jumping around a little bit. But I've been doing a lot of thinking over probably a few months now is, what is the gospel? What is salvation? And it might seem a silly thing to do because hopefully we're all saved here. Hopefully we know the gospel. But I found it incredibly helpful to actually dig down into what actually are we calling people to? What are we declaring? What are we sharing? And I found it incredibly interesting and fascinating what scripture says versus sometimes what we've emphasized ourselves, either in church or in various settings. So Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." You know, there is no other means by which you and I can be saved other than through the gospel. But I'd like to focus on that word salvation just in the few minutes that we have. What is our understanding of salvation? I'm going to ask some questions. I'm going to throw some stuff out and see what happens. Hopefully we'll be encouraged at the end of it. Is salvation primarily about going to heaven? And where do we put the emphasis on salvation? Do we emphasize what we're saved from, or do we emphasize what we're saved for? So hopefully we'll answer some of these, and hopefully it'll be encouraging. But it's good to think who saves us. And obviously it's the Lord Jesus who saves us. Simeon the prophet in Luke chapter 2 declared when he saw Jesus, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And this declaration ties in perfectly with Old Testament verses which declare that God has become my salvation. Exodus 15:2, Psalm 3 verse 8, etc., etc. You know, salvation, it seems, is a person. Salvation is Jesus, it would seem. God is our salvation. Our salvation is God. And it's written on the wall behind me as well. But of course, as much as Jesus himself is our salvation, it's also what he has accomplished and what he's done through his life, death and resurrection. And that leads us to how we experience our salvation. And that's the interaction between God and us. So that's some of the sort of stuff that I've been thinking about. And also, what are we saved from? You know, the scriptures speak of many things that we can be saved from. We can be saved from physical threats, from illnesses. By far the biggest need we have is to be saved from our sins and the wrath of God which accompanies it. You know, sin is probably the major problem that we have as people generally. And death, of course, is being separated from the God of life. That famous Christmas verse, Matthew chapter 1:21, the angel says, to Joseph, I think it is, "Call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins." And so this is what God wants to save us from. A lot of people want to be saved. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to be saved from their sin. And there's a bit of a problem there, because Jesus, God's intention, is to save his people from their sins. That's what the very name Jesus means. So God's plan was to deal with that so that we could live in fellowship with him again. But actually, I think the scriptures emphasize far more what we're saved for as opposed to what we're saved from. John 17 verse 3, you can go there if you want, is a fascinating verse to me. It says, John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And we can kind of read it and miss it. And I have for many years. But look at it again. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God." And so salvation, eternal life, is knowing Jesus. It's not something we get at the end of our life. It's something that happens, something that we experience when we know God. And so eternal life actually starts now. It started already. It started when we believed in Jesus. It's not way off in the distance if we've been a good boy one day. But it starts now. It starts through knowing that relationship with Jesus that's eternal life. And it's probably my favorite definition of life, actually. And of course, there's many benefits to knowing God. If you look at Psalm 103, there's loads of, you know, there's that famous verse, "Forget not all his benefits." And he talks about healing. It talks about God's goodness and all sorts of things. But that's what life is about. It's knowing Jesus in the here and now. And that's what's going to continue into eternity. We often put an emphasis on heaven, but actually heaven is smaller than God. And heaven's going to be so full of God that is the definition of heaven, really. And it's that relationship with him that we shall have. So we're saved for a lot of things. And there's loads of verses we can look at. And we haven't really got time to do that anyway. But we can't enjoy any of the benefits of salvation, things like peace, things like joy, apart from the person of Jesus Christ. And so again, we come back to this primary goal of salvation, which is to know Jesus. And then if we think how we are saved, this is another interesting thing. Because there's a past, there's a present, and there's a future aspect to the process, if you like, of salvation. The past tense is used in Scripture, "You have been saved." If you go to a verse like Ephesians 2:7 or 2 Timothy 1:9, it's very clear that we are saved when we respond to the Holy Spirit's work, which draws us to Jesus. And we're saved through believing. We're saved through repenting of our sin. And that continues as we're baptized, etc., and we grow in the Lord. So it's absolutely true to talk about salvation in the past tense. And some of you may even be able to look back and name a time or a place or a date where that clarity all came together and you said that I believed at that point. And that's absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that. We have been saved. This was a past event for all of us. I do think there is a line somewhere where we cross from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The danger, however, if we only talk about salvation in the past tense, is that someone views salvation more as a ticket to heaven, and which, once God has issued it, cannot be unissued. And so some people would like to claim their ticket to heaven. They would like to say the prayer or respond to the altar call, but then carry on a life after that of living how they want to. And in their mind, I've been saved, so I'm going to push the boundaries. I'm going to kind of do my own thing because I've got this ticket to heaven. And I think if we only present the gospel in this way and we talk about salvation as being a past event, that's one danger that can lead people or allow people to go astray at some point. And I'd rather not allow people to rest on this claim. Of course, we could talk about, you know, once saved, always saved and all that stuff. But actually, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And in verse 23 of that scripture, Jesus' pronouncement is that he never knew them. And again, we come back to John 17, verse 3. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. Eternal life is not, I made a decision once, it was in the past, I responded, and I've walked away from the Lord now. It's about knowing him. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. That's what he says in John 17, 3. The emphasis, I believe, is on this ongoing relationship that we can enjoy with God. So I don't think we can be fully satisfied if someone's only talking about salvation in the past tense or if we're presenting it in that way. As much as it's true, though, we are being saved in the present. This is also true. We are being saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." again, fascinating stuff there. We tend to look at the gospel as the ABCs of our faith, and the gospel is something that we grow up from or we move on from, and we develop into other areas of understanding. But actually, gospel is the A to Z, not just the ABC. And we can never get away from the gospel. And we can never get away from the word of the cross, as Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For us, we who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so it's true in the present. And there's other scriptures that talk about salvation as being in the present. So in other words, the power of God saves us from our sin through that work on the cross. And it's an ongoing work that should continue every day, that we should see. We should look for that fruit every day. And I'm kind of crossed over from believing salvation isn't primarily about relocation, going to heaven, but salvation is more about transformation. It's about heaven getting into us rather than us getting into heaven. The New Testament mentions transformation once in Romans 12:2, but the word sanctification is mentioned 6 times, sanctified another 15 times. And the word saint in the Greek comes from that same word sanctify, and that's mentioned 60 times. So there's this emphasis on overcoming the power of sin in our lives, which is salvation. So we are being saved as we are transformed into the image of God, into Christ, into that likeness. So salvation is about knowing Jesus, which naturally leads to our becoming like him through the work of the Holy Spirit. As I say, it's about getting heaven into you more than about you getting into heaven. There's a present tense to salvation. We are being saved. But it's equally true that one day we're going to get another upgrade, and the scripture says that we will be saved. And our salvation is completed one day in the future. And it's true that God will not stop working in our lives until we're perfectly like Jesus. In Philippians 1:6, he says he's going to finish the work he started, which is encouraging, isn't it? Because sometimes we think, I'm so far away from that. And the only difference between our eternal life in heaven one day and our eternal life right now is that in heaven we won't be able to sin, whereas now we can choose to sin if we want to. Although by the Holy Spirit's power we don't have to. And so that salvation is completed when we no longer have the option to fall into sin again. So it's true that we have been saved. It's true that we are being saved. And one day we can enjoy the fact that we will be saved. God will complete his work in us. And that should be of huge encouragement to us. So that's just some thoughts on salvation. The good news is that we know we can be changed. We know we are changed, but one day we're going to be properly changed. We're going to look exactly like Jesus. So we can be encouraged in this. Just to finish on one verse, Colossians 1 verse 6 says, the gospel is bearing fruit. I'm going to read it properly. As indeed in the whole world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. So the gospel, Romans says, it's the power of God to salvation. Paul here in Colossians 1:6, he says it's bearing fruit all around the world. How does the gospel bear fruit? Well, it bears the fruit of salvation. But salvation is about transformation. And so there's this transforming of people's lives as they put their trust in Jesus and what he's done for them. And all around the world, Nay shared a little bit with us, and no doubt we read stories and we hear about other transformations. That is the gospel bearing fruit. And I just love the fact that we might not see it all the time. It might not be in the news all the time. But you and I no doubt can share many stories of how the gospel bears fruit, of how it is the power of God and it is the hope of our world, isn't it? So I've chosen our last song, and it says pretty much that. It says, "Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation." So I'm going to ask